Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 257.
This week on the podcast, Trump's plan on Monday, pilfer Obama's Afghanistan speech and remove all the details.
And Trump's plan on Tuesday, pilfer Trump's id and remove all coherence.
Plus on Friday, Hurricane Trump hit America with plans to make people suffer before Hurricane Harvey had a chance to.
And the latest White House exit leads to an adorable Nazi reunion at Breitbart. We hope there was angel food cake.
And Mnuchin's wife learns the hard way that poor people can find a Valentino hashtag on Instagram too.
And slow your roll, media. The Kasich Hickenlooper thing is just a friendship right now. They aren't dating yet.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
And you can find us in the same room.
Oh my God. You
so
guys.
So exciting.
I've been gone forever.
Yes.
I'm back.
Yeah.
I'm.
With a vengeance.
With a vengeance.
I don't know.
A new air conditioner.
Yeah.
So
that's
in that sense, I am back with a vengeance because I can actually be inside my own house.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, helpful when you're doing the podcast.
When it was installed just in time, too, because it's freaking hot as
balls right
now.
Yeah. It's about. We're about to have a week straight of high 90s, just like nightmare.
Yeah, no, it's not great. Yeah.
It's going to go only down to the mid-70s at night. And I know those of you on the East Coast experience that from time to time. And I want you to know that it's different here because we never experience that.
Yeah, I know. One of the joys of living here is that
it gets cold every night.
Despite how hot it gets during the day, you open up your house at night and you have some fresh air and you can sleep with the sounds of nature and traffic. And
that's right.
It's
the
lovely.
Beautiful sounds of traffic
yeah.
passing by your window.
But we're not going to be able to do
just
that
just like
God
intended. But yeah, this week it's about to be air conditioner city. No one's going to breathe fresh air for days.
No, it's
going to be
great.
A nightmare.
Yeah.
And we're going to be nightmares because of it.
Yeah.
But
for now.
For now,
yeah.
we're enjoying the breeze and things are going great.
Yeah.
Did you end up watching the eclipse?
No. And in fact, not only did I not watch the eclipse, I actively didn't watch the eclipse because what happened was I was getting to the office about the time as the eclipse was. And apparently the thing that everybody was going to be doing was going up to the roof of the parking garage.
Sounds right.
Which was where I had just parked very near. So I literally walked past nearly my entire office going up the stairs of the parking garage as I was going down the stairs to the parking garage to go into the office and not watch the eclipse as they went to go watch the eclipse.
I became suddenly a scientist for like 20 minutes and ran around with a colander watching it make little, you know.
Oh, you did the colander thing.
So we didn't have any appropriate eyewear. We tried to go very half-heartedly tried to go into town. I was in upstate New York. We tried to go into town and buy the glasses. They were like, they're sold out everywhere here. And we were like, well, all right, we'll go home.
Were you in the path of totality? I'm asking you that as a person who doesn't know exactly what that means.
None of us were in a path of totality. Because I was not in Kentucky and I was not
Thank
in
God.
Oregon.
Yeah.
So those were all, like, I think in 2024 there's supposed to be another one that passes through and LA and New York are like along the right path as opposed to this time when we both missed it.
Yeah, sure.
In any case. We were in the path of untotality. However, my dad had some sort of camera filter thing that he was using, and we were able to look very quickly at the sun through the camera filter, but we couldn't stare because it wasn't quite enough protection.
Yeah, you did. Right, okay.
And then we got a colander out and played with the colander for much longer than grown people should have done that for.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then
probably long past when it was actually over.
I mean, we did it for at least 20 minutes. We stood outside. We ran outside every five minutes to play with the colander.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it doesn't last two. That's in the path of totality, the full
that's
eclipse
how long
lasted.
It,
the eclipse itself lasted for like an hour and a half or 2 hours or something. So we had too much time.
Okay.
And then for a while it went behind the clouds, but you could look at through the clouds so you could look right at it.
Sure.
That was cool. We played with it more than I expected to, and I felt okay about it.
Yeah.
One person who did not hear the warnings about looking directly at the sun and did not then go through the trouble of finding a colander and finding a camera filter and finding is Donald Trump himself.
I would have been amazing had he been out there looking at it through a colander.
I know.
That would have really just made my life.
Nothing is less surprising than the fact that he, a man with no ability to control his own actions, just looked at the sun straight up.
So good.
And if it had blinded him, that wouldn't have been the worst thing.
No.
There are worse things that could happen.
No. There was that like hilarious Tucker Carlson thing where they like somebody did that like infographic, you know, that was just sort of like the reasons why it was amazing that Donald Trump did that. And it was like, you know, his other senses will be heightened and, you know, just like crazy. Anyway. Also, apparently I learned this week that Joey Badass is a person. who stared at the eclipse, who is actually now maybe blind
because learned he's been it from wearing this those doc.
Glasses. I learned it from friend of the podcast, Lauren Leader, yesterday.
Mm, classic, classic. Yes. Was she an avid Joey Badass listener?
No. Mm-mm. No. Anyway, so he might be blind. So it's real, guys. So don't look at the next eclipse.
Either. I read about it in Slate, and they were like, listen, if you look for a second, I mean, don't, because you could injure yourself. But if you do, you won't die.
Yeah.
Don't stare. The problem with an eclipse is everyone stares.
Yeah.
Because it's cool.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, fun.
Well, and he's like he's a toddler. Yeah. I'm now back to talking about Trump, by the way.
But I mean, apply to Joey Badass.
I'm sure, yes. But I mean, you know, he couldn't do the thing that he knew that he wasn't supposed to do. Like, if you
he has no impulse control.
Right, exactly. If you told me not to look at the eclipse, I mean, I was sitting in my office, so I was of no risk.
You were actively trying not to.
Although I have a window, so I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. That's true. You could have.
But I mean, you know, I am able to successfully then just decide to not do that.
Yeah, no.
And he is not. He's not a person that can do that.
You have better impulse control than Donald Trump, which is another way that you avoid giving crackpot nonsense speeches on Tuesdays.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, you have a lot going for you in that sense.
It's another reason why it would make more sense for me, who is just as qualified as he is, to have me being the one who was able to decide how many troops we're going to send someplace. Because I have the impulse control to maybe not do that, which apparently he does not, because we learned this week that he doesn't. Although we don't know how many troops are going. Because
he wouldn't also say,
although
doesn't.
We do, because like the Pentagon sort of like, you can like look at how many sort of like troops are like being sent to a place. So like his secrecy over it, like, you know, like Sunday night, we knew that like 3,900 troops were basically going to be going to Afghanistan. And then his speech on Monday was like, well, I'm not telling you how many troops were sent to Afghanistan.
His involvement with the plan is suspect, to say the least.
Well, for sure.
I mean, yes. Because his involvement with the plan involves him being told something that he doesn't listen to because it doesn't have his name in it.
Yes.
And then nodding.
Yes.
And then if a strong male figure comes up to him and assertively says, we're going to increase it by this many troops, he will just say yes.
Yeah. And he also is a man who responds very well to photos of ladies in miniskirts.
Yes. Which is
so
exactly.
If you have one of those that can somehow
tie
prove your
into
point,
your military action needs.
Like if you have that in your, you know, presentation. Like
Trump,
that's you've
was
you've
an isolationist because he didn't realize that there was a time in Afghanistan's history where women wore miniskirts.
Right. And once he learned
and
that
literally.
Fact.
Literally.
Right. Now that he knows that he might be able to be the person
who
brings miniskirts back.
He's suddenly ready to solve this problem.
He is in it, guys.
And he's gonna solve it by
to win it. He's not gonna tell us how we're going to win
it. He's gonna do
it. Or what winning it even means, but he's
by repeating maxims that are stolen verbatim from Obama.
Correct.
And then taking all the details out of the context to those maxims.
That's right.
That's his plan.
That's the plan.
I mean, that's usually his that's been his plan.
Yeah, sure.
In military in foreign policy so far.
Exactly.
Aside from pulling out of the Paris Accords, which was all him. His usual plan is to pilfer an Obama speech and remove the details.
Right. Or do what the last person in the room told him was.
Yeah, exactly.
And since it wasn't able to be Steve Bannon this last
I was going to say, the last person in the room didn't tell him to murder all Jews because Steve Bannon wasn't there anymore. Right. So he had to move on to a new plan.
Right. And it was H.R. McMaster. Yeah. And he had pictures of
ladies in miniskirts. And H.R. McMaster's plan as a military guy is to make the military go
He's
places.
A thinker, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
By the way.
That actually is the cleverest thing I've heard.
Right?
Doing.
I know. That's why I was being facetious.
No, that's up there with when we learned that aides were having to pepper his name throughout his foreign policy briefings to make him read them.
Yeah.
It turns out his staff has been doing that for years
so
in his own organization.
Yeah.
So that's not wild to say. But in any case, so we don't know how many troops. We don't know what a victory looks like, per se, because that wasn't defined for us. He did repeat various maxims like, we are not a nation. We are not nation building again. We are killing terrorists. He was very into killing terrorists.
Yes.
And I'm not sure he's fully aware of what nation building is anyway. And I wasn't worried that that was his plan.
No.
I was worried when the Bush administration was involved because I was like, that's their plan.
Sure.
That's why they went into wars with random countries was to nation build.
Sure.
I knew that it had nothing to do with killing terrorists because they're BFFs with the families of all these terrorists.
Right, exactly.
And
plus they went to Iraq first, which didn't have
Didn't have any.
So,
exactly. Right, yeah. But I was not concerned that Trump's foreign policy was being driven by his desire to do nation building.
Right.
So he didn't need to warn me of that.
Right. Well, the one thing that was even sort of moderately tolerable about Trump during the campaign was that he had always said that he was, right, exactly. I mean, he was very sort of like closer to Rand Paul than he was the rest of that, you know, the 17 people he was running against.
Like with now, many things.
Yes.
That's shifted. Remember when he also didn't care about transgender people?
I do. Yes.
And when he was like, well, you know, the gay marriage thing is settled.
Yeah.
Settled by law. Apparently abortion, not settled by law. Roe v. Wade, not settled.
No.
But, you know, gay marriage, fully settled by the courts. But so in any case, it turns out that the secret plan that they had all hatched to make Breitbart the like main information wing of the White House has already hit a bump because of this Afghanistan speech.
And
we predicted it.
We love
right
to
here.
Toot our own horns. And last week
we're not ever shy about that.
No, please. We've never not done that.
No.
But I mean, it's true though, because last week we were like, you know, Bannon, that's what we talked about last week, because that happened on last Friday. And he had said that, you know, he was going to go to war for Trump at Breitbart. And then I was like, you and I said, what's going to happen over at Breitbart when Trump announces that he's sending troops into Afghanistan, which he hadn't even done yet? And then here we are. And
they weren't happy.
They were not fucking happy about it.
What a shock.
You know what they were happy about, though? Taylor Swift's new single, by the way.
Really?
Did you see that? They were tweeting. No. Breitbart spent all day Friday, which was the day that came out, tweeting out their news stories with little quotes from the lyrics from the Taylor Swift song that they found, like, somehow remotely appropriate to the news story that they were sending out.
I can only imagine that the Breitbart newsroom is filled with the nerdiest pieces of human excrement in the world.
Yeah.
That is the nerdiest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I know. It was amazing.
That's
pure
silliness.
Yeah.
I can't even with that.
Totally. Yeah.
Anyway. Also, they spent some of their time on Friday distracted by pop culture and unable to, like,
I mean, that was,
bring about the downfall of mankind.
I'm not proud of it, but that's all I did on Friday.
Well, I mean,
and Friday was
you
a busy,
weren't the only one.
And Friday was a busy day, by the way. But yes, I was.
We're gonna get to Friday. We're going
in
chronological order.
There were a lot of Taylor Swift memes for me to deal with on Friday. But yes, we're gonna go back. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
We're going in Trump chronological order, and then we'll break the order to talk about some other things.
I was going in Trump chronological order in the sense that I was going from Monday to Friday, and then to
back
Tuesday,
again.
And which seems like something that he would be up to. Yeah,
well,
I'm channeling him right now. That's
essentially what he did in that speech on Tuesday.
I know.
Which was the... Now, listen, guys. I have long been open about the fact that the one aspect of the Trump presidency that I enjoy is his speeches. I find him an entertaining speaker. I don't find his show entertaining.
No.
I don't find him as a personality entertaining.
And we find it terrifying.
And terrifying.
Yes.
Mostly. But
mostly
that man knows how to deliver an entertaining speech where if you can remove yourself from the clear and present danger that is knowing he's the president, you can find yourself entertained for an hour by a rambunctious toddler delivering whatever's on his mind.
Yeah.
And that is kind of what he attempted to do on Tuesday. But Tuesday was the first time that he's delivered one of these well-publicized, televised campaign-style speeches.
Event. Right, yeah.
And lost me. Like, full-on lost me.
Wow.
This speech was nuts. And
lost you
I
in
mean,
that you weren't able to follow it, or lost you and that you were like, I just am not into
I was
this
bored. I was bored. And this speech, when you hear me describe it right now, you're going to think, how could a person be bored by this? Because it sounds like the most exciting speech in the history of the world. And I guarantee that not only was I bored, but the entire room was bored.
Mm.
The people that they put in the stands to stand behind him and look excited were bored.
Yeah.
And first of all, we're going to talk in a little bit about the people who are standing behind him, because that visual was too much. And that's how I managed to make it through the speech, was because I was watching the people behind him be silly. But in any case, ostensibly, I think, you know, this was a campaign-style event, and it was in Arizona. And ostensibly, I think it was supposed to be about immigration, because what else do you talk about with people in Arizona? Like, what was he going to go talk to them about that wasn't immigration?
Although he canceled he was supposed to go, because my parents were, you know, really on top of all of this, because they used to live there, and they used to live in Yuma. And he went to Yuma when he was there, and he was supposed to go visit the wall, because Yuma is one of the places that
has
a border wall. And he canceled that, which I found fascinating, because, like,
is a city where people spend more time in Mexico going back and forth across the border than almost any city on
Earth. And they are also, like, they're basically, like, making sure, like, you and I, like Joe Blow Americans, get to eat.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's not an ideal situation for him to be in Yuma necessarily.
No.
But anyway.
Whatever. The point is, so I assumed going into this speech that it would be heavy on immigration, because a crowd in Phoenix, what are they there to see?
Yeah,
a Trump crowd in Phoenix?
Yeah.
And there, he did talk eventually a little bit about immigration.
Sure.
And we're going to talk in a second about his, how he announced that he was going to announce that he's going to, that he was going to pardon Sheriff Arpaio.
Yeah.
Which he wouldn't actually say in the speech, but he just like alluded.
Right. He said he was,
the fact that he was going to, he was like, Arpaio was going to be fine.
He said he's going to be fine. Yeah.
In any case, it made him sound, obviously someone had told him don't say it, and he said it anyway, which makes him a toddler. But it was the most long-winded, confusing, unhinged, and unhinged was the word that all the news used after this.
Sure.
Rant that I've ever seen him go on. It was about 30 minutes before he got to anything other than blaming the press for being terrible. Most of that was spent on them not covering his Charlottesville response favorably enough. But hilariously, he repeated his response word for word and left out the both sides that caused all the controversy in the first place.
Yeah.
He kept saying that CNN was turning him off. And I was watching the speech on CNN.
Right. And also, how is he knowing that, like, from up there?
He just kept threatening that. And I was like, why won't they just do it then?
Yeah, I know.
Right? Like, why am I watching this? But CNN aired the whole fucking thing as he sat and at various times throughout the speech declared that they're all turning me off. CNN's gone home, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, if only, guy, if only.
I know.
But he also was on a rampage, as he's been all week, against the Arizona senators. Jeff Flake
really
is now on
them.
His radar.
Oh, yeah.
John McCain's been on his radar because of the Obamacare vote thing. Now Jeff Flake is on his radar.
Yeah.
So he kept alluding how he was going to insult them, but wouldn't name them. Obviously,
wouldn't name them.
He even said,
I think at some point in the speech, I was told not to name, to say names.
Yes. But so instead he said things like, your other senator who's weak on borders and weak on crime.
Right.
After he
I'm not
went
going
on
to say Jeff
about,
Flake's name, but it rhymes with Hef Snake.
Right, exactly.
Right,
And that was after he went on a long rant about Obamacare. And that was the part that to me stood out the most. No one covered this, but I, in my infinite wisdom, have decided to be the one person who covers this.
Good.
Part of his crazy rant during that process, or during that section, was about the Obamacare vote situation, and specifically the filibuster process and the reconciliation process.
He talked about wanting to get rid of the filibuster, didn't he?
Yes, but he did it by saying, I want to get rid of reconciliation. That's why, or no, he did something to say, it's because of reconciliation, it's so boring, blah, 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 but that's why we need to get rid of the filibuster. Reconciliation, by the way, is the only process that requires, that does not.
Doesn't require 60 votes.
Right. You don't, you can't filibuster a reconciliation.
No.
Those are budgetary
bills. So he doesn't
want
to get rid of the reconciliation.
So he basically said that the filibuster reform thing needed to happen because of the one thing that, because what he kept blaming filibusters for not getting the Obamacare vote through,
right, which
even
wasn't what
though
happened.
It wasn't how that wasn't the bill itself got voted down by Republicans.
Yes.
So that's why it didn't go through. And it didn't get 50 votes. It got
it was
49 votes.
Right, exactly. Yes.
It wasn't like it needed 60.
No.
He specifically said that there were 8 Democrats holding them all hostage, and that he went on at length about this and then blamed it on the reconciliation process.
Right. And then also blamed it on John McCain.
And then blamed it on John McCain. Right. But I was like, this is a man who doesn't understand how a bill becomes a law.
No, he doesn't.
He has not watched Schoolhouse Rock.
I know, exactly. Well, his exact quote was, there's this thing, reconciliation, it's boring, you don't care.
Yeah.
Which is, he could have also added, I don't care. Right. You don't care. I don't care.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is. I'm not going to tell you.
Exactly.
Because I don't know. But trust me, it's bad.
But that to me, this man has now been the president for 7 months. Now, I would have believed he would say something bullshitty like this when he first took office, because what did he know about passing laws?
I mean, I have I have learned what reconciliation is. I mean, I knew sort of generally kind of.
Right. I knew there were specific budgetary bills that didn't.
But, like, I learned about it through this healthcare process.
Sure.
Like, so.
And it would
the
stand
fact
to
that
reason
he didn't.
That if we learned about it, he could have also learned about it. But instead, he's not learned about it.
Yeah.
But so in any case, by the time he got to immigration, the audience was real bored and they were tired and they were yawning and they were kind of looking in weird directions and they were leaving, according to a CNN reporter who was standing outside of the venue.
Yeah.
So his cheer lines didn't get the kind of cheers that you would hope they would get. But he did say he was going to build a wall. He blamed Democrats for obstructing the process because they won't pay for it. It's interesting because I thought Mexico was supposed to pay for it, but they have since reaffirmed that they're not paying for it.
Right. And he has also tweeted, I think, just within the last couple of days that we're going to build a wall. And Mexico, oh, it was so funny. He said Mexico will pay for it through some, like, I can't remember, through, like,
deal that they were going to cut.
But then he was, but he said, like, through, you know, buyback slash other or something. Right. Like, that buyback is not the word. But he, like, used some word and then it was, like, slash other. Like, some other mystery way that they're going to pay for it.
The means by which they'll pay for it. They're going to pay for it via the means.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And then when he got to Arpaio, as we said, he said he's going to be just fine. I won't do it tonight because I don't want to cause any controversy, okay? But Sheriff Joe can feel good.
God.
First of all, he caused plenty of controversy. This was the least controversial thing that he said all night. So, like, it was fine. I mean, he didn't need to worry. He could have pardoned Arpaio and all, you know, every neo-Nazi currently sitting in prison, and it wouldn't have caused more controversy than the speech caused.
No.
But this was, I think, a sign that his sort of charisma is waning. Because he was, unlike when he was running for office and he had no record, and because of that, he could say the media was treating him unfairly or whatever, but he was sucking up all the airtime, and he was only talking about crooked Hillary and, you know, sleepy whoever, you know, like, you know, at that time, I felt like he had sort of like enough things to say that wouldn't bore people, that could kind of like help him build sort of like general messaging.
Yeah.
This, he's not going to be able to run with a record. This is a man who can't, who can't sort of like think to himself, what's the best way for me to move forward from this problem? He just thinks to himself, I'm in a problem. I'm mad about it. I want to complain to whoever made me in this, you know, whoever caused this problem. And so this was the first time that we've seen him deliver this kind of a campaign style speech since becoming president.
Yeah.
And it was so much worse than the speeches he was giving before that.
Yeah.
That Trump steak speech was inspired.
Yeah.
It was, he managed to self-promote himself at every turn. He often worked these self-promotion moments in sort of effortlessly.
Yeah.
But he ultimately had a, not a positive message, but a sort of forward moving message, which was that he was great.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
he had a message that he could approve of, which was how wonderful he was.
Yeah.
This is about him defending himself, this speech. And it didn't have the same appeal.
No.
It didn't make you want to cheer.
And no, and he's not, and that is always the struggle of running for a second term. And I realize we're not even done with the first year, which is upsetting. But I mean, this was a campaign style event, so I mean, it's worth sort of talking about. But I mean, like, getting a second term is hard oftentimes.
Because you have a record.
Right, exactly. Because you have a record. And he is not a person who is going to, apparently, it doesn't appear as though, be a person who's going to be able to sell that record.
No.
You know, because it's bad. But, you know,
but he's,
you
also,
can still,
it doesn't,
but he's also
not even
a,
finding ways to do that. Because all he's doing is complaining that the reason his reputation is bad is because people are being mean to him.
Yes, and he's also not a person who, he has had and sold everyone who bought it anyway on all of the ideas that he has.
Right.
So he doesn't have
new ones.
He doesn't have a new idea for building the wall, or a new idea as to how to get Mexico to pay for it. He doesn't have he doesn't have a new way to think about how he's going to get healthcare done.
He doesn't have a new a plan B for when Mexico says we're not going to pay for it.
Right. There's nothing new to sell to people.
And so instead he's ranting.
So he's ranting. Right. Yeah.
Two more points about this.
Great.
One is that there were big protests outside, and this is the first time I've ever seen this happen on CNN. CNN reported that the protesters had been tear gassed because they, to disperse the crowd, they started firing tear gas. And it was the first time in coverage of a protest I've ever heard a CNN reporter be like, I don't know why they tear gassed us. It doesn't seem like it was caused by anything. It doesn't seem like anything was, you know, any protesters did anything to instigate this. It seems like they're just tear gassing us to, you know, for the show. Like, CNN basically directly reported that that was a statement, that that was not instigated.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that. The second thing is, we need to talk about the people that were standing behind Trump one more time.
Okay.
In particular, there was this one guy who's been at a lot of these rallies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who calls himself Michael the Black Man. He is a black man. I am not choosing to describe him unnecessarily because he calls himself Michael the Black Man and holds a sign that says Blacks for Trump.
Yeah.
And he just stands behind Trump the whole time. And the Washington Post did this amazing exposé on him.
Oh.
Because it turns out he's like a real character.
Oh.
He's been at a ton of these campaign events, but it also turns out that he's been tried for murder twice.
Oh boy.
It seems like maybe he shouldn't be allowed to stand right behind the president.
Sure.
Right. Because yeah, he was right? in a violent cult where the cult leader is now in jail on 14 murder convictions.
Oh, my God.
He runs several conspiracy theory websites that have like God. Wild, not like even Breitbart style conspiracy theories. Like
was
wild.
He the one at that campaign rally where Trump was like, I've got my black guy
I believe
over
he was.
Here.
Yeah. Like, I think where, he was. Right, I think right, he was. Uh-huh. He has been shouted out by Trump in the past for being one black man in a sea of white people holding a sign that says blacks for Trump.
Right.
But this, we tweeted this article, so you can find it on our Twitter, but I highly recommend you reading this article.
Oh, man.
Every word of it.
Yeah.
It was the most entertaining read I've had all week. And this is in a week where I watched a Trump speech that was right. this insane. It's just like, it's too, and then by the way, the rest of the people that they put back there were like, it was like several old ladies who spent the whole time trying to make their phones work and taking pictures of Trump from the back.
Yeah.
There was one guy who looked confused and lost. And then every time Trump said something truly objectionable, he got like real rowdy
That's
and into
when he
it.
Liked it. Yeah.
There was one veteran who just had the silliest smile on his face. He was wearing a veteran's hat. I don't know if but he looked like he was there to be the veteran.
Sure.
He just had the goofiest smile plastered on his face for and just stared straight at camera with this goofy smile.
I love it when people
for
do that.
For the entire length of the speech.
Yeah.
It was the most entertaining crowd antics I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It was also just like clear how absurd this crowd was from that audience.
That's amazing. I love the camera stares.
I mean,
they're the best kind of people behind.
This was a hilarious mix of camera starers and people who couldn't even stand correctly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, who like couldn't be human beings correctly.
Sure. Yeah.
It was amazing and too much.
So hey,
then for a few days, we had a little reprieve. You know, the usual terrible things happened, but nothing super exciting. Scandals broke. Trump said horrible things, whatever.
Yeah.
Then on Friday, everything hit at once.
Yes.
So,
really
first
did.
Of all, a major hurricane hit in Texas. This is the first big natural disaster of Trump's presidency.
Yeah, he's really been...
And it's a big one.
Yes, and he's really been leading the way. On
That's
the
right.
Everybody's looking to him to just really comfort them in their time of need down there.
He's comforted them by encouraging them to stay safe.
Yes.
A few times.
And wishing them good luck.
And wishing them good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good luck.
As if this was just something that was up to the whims of the whims of nature, and he could do nothing to alleviate their suffering.
Yeah.
But mostly he's using it as political cover to do really unpopular things while everyone's distracted by storm coverage.
Right, exactly.
So the first thing he did was pardon Arpaio.
Right. Let me know when Hurricane Harvey is a category 3, and I'll release the pardon.
Exactly.
You know, like, I mean, like,
if we can get up to 4, we'll ban transgender people in the military, too.
Yeah, exactly.
But, so on Friday, first of all, he's at Camp David on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
He leaves for Camp David the day the hurricane's supposed
That's
to
when
hit.
He tells everybody good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
As he's going on vacation.
Yeah, as he's heading off to vacation.
Yeah.
Then he pardons Arpaio. Now, this is notable for a number of reasons. One being that this is a convicted official who, like, openly violated the Constitution, not the law, but the Constitution,
right.
which is an unusual kind of pardon for a president to give.
Yeah, there's been a lot of think pieces within the last couple of days about what, like, this is not a normal pardon, and also, like, is it totally legal, and, like, does the Supreme Court have anything to say about this?
Exactly.
So, like, I don't know that we have necessarily heard the last of
this. I feel like... Yeah. From what I have read up to now, the consensus is that it's legal, but in poor taste and sets a dangerous precedent.
Right.
Because this allowing a president to sort of like whatever the opposite of vindictively is, you know, issue pardons to people who have violated the bedrock of our society is a kind of bizarre thing for a society to acquiesce to.
It is. Yes.
And this is all happening at a time where everyone's too distracted to do anything about it. But I think as this kind of filters out, and, you know, as the hurricane kind of settles in and we can really think about it, I feel like it's more than be illegal. It's going to make people uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, members of his own party who, you know, we sort of like often get on their case for, you know, only kind of like half-heartedly like being against this have And it's been the usual suspects that normally are. Although Paul Ryan came out just today and sent like a fairly strongly worded statement about this. But I mean, it really just sort of like proves that, like, you know, he is looking to bring institutional racism to the White House and to America.
Yeah.
Because that's
all that this man offers.
I mean, he was, you know, these were civil rights violations because he was.
The reason he was convicted was because he was targeting Latino people in his random, quote unquote, searches for documents.
Right, exactly.
And was
pulling people over basically just for...
That doesn't even hit upon the larger issues with Arpaio, where he was often inhumane to, you know, people that had been captured who were undocumented people who were captured here, who, you know, he was doing things like making them wear pink underwear in jail and things like that. I mean, there was an aspect of him that was sick beyond this. But the reason that he was convicted was because he was openly violating the Constitution.
Right.
And not just openly violating it, but asked to stop and refused to stop. A court ordered him to stop and he didn't do it.
Yeah.
So this was not a man... And this was a man who was sworn in as someone... He was sworn to uphold the Constitution as his job. Like, that was his whole job.
Yes.
His whole job was to uphold the very Constitution he was...
Yes.
In any case, you guys get it. Whatever. Yeah. It's fine.
He's terrible.
But also, he was only going to be in jail for like 6 months. So like, just fucking suck it up.
Yeah.
Like, get over it. It's not like he was going to go to jail for life.
No.
Like, he was going to be back out making trouble in 6 months.
Yeah.
If Trump has 6 months. Maybe he was worried he wouldn't have 6 months to
What sort of is interesting about this is that he had not been sentenced yet, and a lot of people thought that he was probably going to appeal.
Right.
But by taking a presidential pardon, you are still admitting that guilt. I mean, like, you are still guilty. So that's sort of interesting about this. It'll be curious to see how this plays out in the sense that, like, he has been pardoned, but is he going to try and appeal this to get off so he is not guilty of it? So he's a person who doesn't have to, like, carry a
criminal record
out of, like, a felony conviction for something.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is just sort of, like, bizarre. Besides being terrible, it's just a weird situation for a pardon to happen.
It's unusual.
Yeah.
It's unusual. Here's a few things that I hadn't known about Arpaio.
Mm.
One, he's first generation. And you know who else is first generation? Mm. Trump.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm so curious about these first generation people who are so obsessed with stopping immigrants.
Yeah.
Do they not love their parents?
I know.
But I also think, I mean, there's an aspect to this that I think speaks to a larger issue that we have here, which is about racism, but is about the fact that oftentimes I think white immigrants feel the need to distinguish themselves from other immigrants so that no one questions their, you know, existence here. Because
100%.
You know what country has a lot of undocumented people living in America? Ireland. Have you ever heard about that problem? Probably not. There's a huge community of undocumented Irish people in New York. No one talks about that.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's plenty of undocumented people who are white that we don't talk about. We talk about the undocumented problem as being a problem from South America or Mexico.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And so, but it's interesting to me that these two men, both children of immigrants themselves, have taken it upon themselves to prevent future children of immigrants from living in America. Like, it's just, it's so kind of like, it's sick and it's a little sad and I'll never really understand it. So there's that. And then also I had forgotten that Arpaio was a big birther.
Oh, I mean, shocker.
Yeah, I mean, not surprised.
No.
But also, fuck you, guy.
Because that's obviously, I mean, he's probably for anything that is just, you know, based in racism.
Right, he's for racism.
Yes, exactly.
And all the things that come with it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In any case, the other thing that Trump tried to sneak through during the hurricane was a ban on transgender people serving in the military.
Right, which he has sort of already
He's already said he was going to do it, but he finally, like, released the ban.
Yeah.
It gives Jim Mattis, our defense secretary, pretty wide discretion in determining exactly how to apply it.
Right.
And especially for people that are already in the military.
Yeah, because it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't say that they have to be, no, they weren't. And the transgender people who are in the military currently, this does not say that they have to leave, but Mattis could decide.
But it says they could. I mean, it doesn't say they don't have to leave.
Yeah.
The thing that is so interesting about this conversation is when he first announced he was going to do this, we got all these numbers all of a sudden about what it, because the argument is always that it's too expensive to allow transgender people to serve in the military because of their medical needs and they need time off to transition and blah, blah, blah. It turns out we spend a very significant sum more on Viagra, than we do on healthcare for transgender people in the military. It's like the amount that we spend on healthcare for transgender people in the military is insignificant, truly, when compared to many, you know, to the larger sort of like veterans healthcare network, to the larger, you know, service of men who just like can't get it up to, you know, to a number of health problems that are dubious at best.
Yeah.
So this isn't really a like...
No, that's not a real
reason. A real mathematical reason that you would need to do this. But not. I've also, I've never understood why Republicans, even like moral conservatives, think that it's a good idea to ban people from serving in the military.
It doesn't make any sense.
Because they are the first to talk about how great military service is, how serving your country is a noble thing. And I just don't understand. When people serve in the military, like, yes, we pay them a salary, as we should, but they are providing a service to us. Why should we ban people from providing a service to us?
Yeah.
Why should we pretend like being in the military is some honor that we want to dole out carefully to only deserving people? That's not what serving in the military is. It's never been that. And especially at a time when we're involved in conflicts all over the fucking world.
Yeah.
Like, the military is always a place where people with the least opportunity go to find opportunity.
And that is the thing right there that is so important too, because, and this is what I've been explaining to so many people, is that transgender people often go to the military
because they can't get fucking jobs.
As a place that will actually take them. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like, this was the thing that I, like, I remember from watching that terrible, you know, I am Kate thing, was that
Brent watched that and he liked it.
I did watch that. And I found it to be, like, sort of interesting, just her stupidity. And, like, it wasn't in regards to the military, but it was, she was speaking with transgender people who were sex workers.
Right.
And she couldn't understand why they just sort of like hadn't pulled themselves up by the bootstraps.
Right. It's like, to
and
do
she's
what?
Like, you know, they don't have money, so they can't look like you, so they can't get a job, so they're not work, like, this is their reality.
Exactly.
And like, the military for so many transgender people was a way to have that not be their reality.
Totally.
And but it's also, just like, so it's so sad on just like a personal level that like people would want to actually go and risk their lives
as
a way out of their own, you know, like status where they can't be employed by anyone else.
By the way, like, this is a nation that is allowing people with Confederate flags to serve in the military.
Of course, yes.
And as I've said to my parents and other people many times, it is much more expensive to insure idiots than transgender people, and we don't ban idiots from joining the military.
No, certainly.
So, but I mean, like, it just doesn't make sense to me from a level of just, not even like a mathematical level, but just like a level of like being a person who thinks it's a good idea to serve in the military.
Yeah.
Like,
I would like to go die for my country. Nope, you can't.
When they wouldn't let gay people in the military, I was like, if gay people want to fucking die for this country, like, why? Who are we to be like, no?
Right? Yeah.
You love us too much, but we don't love you enough. Like, that seems like a crazy thing to do. And also, especially in a world in which service in the military can consist of so many different kinds of jobs and experiences. So, like, I don't think that it makes sense to ban anyone from any specific role ever in the military that they are capable of serving in.
Yes.
But I mean, just from the logic of being like a Trumpian Republican, like, if you don't want transgender people to go into battle, is banning them from the military service really
that's
worthwhile?
Yeah.
They can still operate a fucking computer.
Yeah, that's what I was going to, like, if you like, sort of like, I mean, I would just disagree with you because it's ridiculous, not you, but
no,
like,
but,
military people, like, if you think that it's like causing issues within their platoon, like, after they've been deployed, then, like, okay, fine. Like, that still sounds like a bit of a reach, but, like, also, like, there's probably more military desk jobs than there are military platoon
jobs.
Exactly.
Like, it just doesn't make sense. It has never made sense to me in an organization that is all about service to the nation to tell people that they can't do us a favor, basically. That seems crazy to me.
Yeah.
And it also is one of the few sort of great and less great than it used to be, but equalizers in society. It's a way that people can do service and then get opportunities that, that you can't get if you come from a, you know, low-income background, if you come from a community that's just not that well connected to some, you know, the things you would want to do. If you if you are a transgender person,
it's a way that people have been paying for college for you know, decades.
Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, I can understand why, from that perspective, they're trying to punish transgender people because they don't like them. But, I mean, it it doesn't make sense to me to be like, no, don't come die for this country.
Yeah.
If you are a person who is in favor of sending the military all over the place to send people to die for our country. Like, it just, that logic has never made sense to me. It didn't make sense to me about gay people.
No.
And I was like, fine. Decide, say transgender people can only serve in transgender platoons. Like, whatever weird thing you need to say to satisfy your base, I would disagree with you vehemently that that's a good idea. Yeah. But I would also, like, see where that allows your two ideas to coexist.
Right, exactly.
In the same way that I never understood with gay people. I was like, okay.
But just don't actively ruin their lives.
Right, like, well, and also, for no reason, like, there's no real reason. We have now sort of, like, proven that the claim... You know, the reason that they're doing this is fake.
Yeah.
So, like, why do it?
Yeah.
Do something else. Yeah. Satisfy your base some other way. Also, do something besides beating up on transgender people. I'm so bored of this conversation.
I know.
First of all, it's like they've learned nothing from gay marriage. Nothing is going to make transgender people more quickly accepted into this society than Republicans desperately trying to ban them at every turn. Do you know why we have gay marriage in every state in the union right now?
Yeah.
It's because every state tried to ban it a few years ago.
Had to go
and then it turned out it was a civil rights issue and that you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, what? Don't stop being idiots.
I know.
In any case, that's a note to Republicans from Lila Nordstrom, TM.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Speaking of the hurricane, it's also happening.
It is.
It's a bad one, you guys.
It is. Texas is, like, officially underwater right
now. There are places that are getting, over the course of this, literally like 40, 4 feet of water.
Four feet. Yeah, like 40-some inches.
Have you ever been in a place that's gotten 4 inches of water in a short period of time? It's terrifying.
Yeah.
This is 4 feet.
It is.
It's...
Yeah. Well, and I have been in a place that had 4 feet of water because I lived through the floods of 93 in Iowa.
Yeah.
And that is...
That's not fun.
Definitely not fun.
It's not what you're looking for.
Ever.
It's never the right one.
No. So... Yeah, I mean...
There's other extreme weather. There's been tornadoes.
Yep.
It's also... There's... the storm is really slow moving, so that's part of what the issue is that it was downgraded finally to Category 1 or a tropical storm or whatever.
Tropical storm, I think, now. But it's basically just, like, settled and...
It's just, like, hanging out over the coast of Texas. And it came in as a Category 4.
Yeah.
Which is a big storm.
Yeah, I think it was the first time that they said a Category 4 had, like, touched down, like, in... Or, like, hit land in Texas in, like, 50 years almost.
Yeah, it was... It was... It's a rare occurrence.
Yeah.
And... Now they're even talking, I mean, like, Houston is truly underwater, and it's not even the worst hit area, but it's because it's such a big city, it's really, like, fucking things up over there. Yeah. But they also didn't have a mandatory evacuation, and there was a lot of contradictory information about whether they should or shouldn't evacuate. Yeah. There were public officials saying both things, like, maybe you should evacuate. Nah, you're fine. I don't know why we're telling people to evacuate. So a lot of people didn't evacuate, and now they're just trapped in their homes in Houston.
Yeah.
But Trump hopes things work out for them.
Good luck to you.
Good luck.
Yep.
As he was leaving on his vacation.
I was going to say, I'll see you after vacay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Reporters asked him if he had a message for people that were going to be affected, and he gave them a thumbs up and said, good luck to everybody. They're going to be safe. Good luck to everybody. Good luck.
They're going to be safe. I know.
Yeah. And then he tweeted, just arrived at Camp David, where I'm closely watching the path and doings of Hurricane Harvey as it strengthens to a Category 3. Be safe. So he wants everyone to be safe.
And doings.
I know. The doings of Hurricane Harvey.
Oh, man.
That would be an amazing book title. And maybe I'll write that book. So he hopes it works out for them.
I learned a little bit about Texas geography.
Oh, good.
Because of this hurricane.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
There were a lot of things I didn't know, like that Houston is near a coast.
That is one thing that I learned.
If you'd asked me where Houston was, I would have said directly in the middle of Texas.
I know, exactly. And I was with Lauren yesterday, whose nephew is at University of Texas.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
In Austin. And so we were looking on a map to see if, like, that was going to get... It's actually closer to there than one might think.
Austin is closer than I thought it would be.
Yes.
Yeah, I also noticed that when I was looking at hurricane coverage.
Yeah.
I try to not worry
about Texas much.
I know.
Yeah.
They're a big state. They can take care of themselves. They're, like, the only Republican donor state. So they have enough money. If they choose to do the right thing, they could.
Well, of course. And, and also, you know, classically, you know, all of these Texas people really... don't like because they're so hyper conservative down there. They don't think that anybody else should have aid.
Yeah,
but now it's like now that Houston's underwater, it's like Oh, shit. These people all thought, can I get some of that California money over here, please?
Hurricane Sandy was a hoax.
Well, right. Exactly. You know,
suddenly super interested in.
Well, New York, ew.
Yeah. They deserved it.
Right.
But not us in Texas.
Right. No, God.
We went to church.
God brought Sandy.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, in any case, that typical hypocrisy is happening. Yeah. But also in the chaos of all of this, one more thing happened, if you can believe it.
Right. Sebastian Gorka.
Gorka's gone.
Was either fired or not fired.
Nobody knows.
Or was asked to leave or had his security clearance revoked or any of those things. But he doesn't work at the White
House
anymore.
He doesn't work at the White House anymore.
Right. Yeah. Which is good because I think maybe he's the...
He's the last Nazi,
Is he the
Nazi,
last of the Nazis out of there?
No, I mean...
Well, the president.
The president.
So that's unfortunate.
And also, isn't Steve Miller like...
Oh, I'm not sure. Maybe.
Nazi-leaning?
Yeah, sure. I mean, let's just go with that.
Yeah, I mean, he's not.
No.
He's an advisor to Obama.
Exactly.
I mean, to Obama. God, no.
Yeah,
to
but
Trump.
Sebastian Gorka, like, actually, maybe, perhaps was.
Openly.
Well, right.
Fairly openly. He was a big Trump defender on television. No one's really sure what his job was beyond that.
Right, exactly. Yes.
And it seems like this wing of the White House is sort of evacuating, as it were.
Well, and he seems to know it, too. But Kelly has been going through and sort of, like, looking at everyone. He's the new chief of staff, and he has been sort of like looking at everyone's jobs. And as we reported last week, it turns out that Steve Bannon didn't really have a job either because
his job was just to like hang out and be Steve Bannon.
Yeah, exactly. And this guy's job is to hang out and be Sebastian Gorka.
Bannon used to have a job. It was to write all the executive orders, but he was bad at that job.
Right.
So that he had to get moved to a new
position. This guy was basically just there to sort of like, you know, declare neo-Nazi opinions and wear their pins on television, which was how we found out that he was in the first place.
Exactly.
So
he was up to the typical stuff that, you know, he'd be up to.
Yeah. But it's great that he's gone. You know, I mean, I like having these people not hanging around the president, certainly. I mean, I wish the president could get their thoughts out of his own brain.
Right.
But maybe
or his own thoughts out of his own brain.
Exactly. But maybe with them not around, he will be able to take on other people's thoughts because we know that's what he does.
He's like an empty vessel. Yeah.
Right.
He kind of just absorbs whatever's around him, at least
in the short term. He was palling around with the wrong guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, palling around is important, you guys. Yeah. Who you pal around with is...
Really is.
Sarah Palin can tell you that.
She can.
Better than anyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who you pal around with is everything.
Yeah.
But so he's going back to Breitbart, right?
Yeah, he's going back to Breitbart.
Yeah.
Because he was their, like, foreign policy...
Yes. Expert.
Specialist. Yeah. Uh-huh. Which, like, yikes.
Yeah.
Which was how he
So they're
came
having
to
a beautiful reunion
place.
At Breitbart.
Me and Steve Bannon. Yes. But it sounds like he also will be, you know, he's going there and I think, like, had been quoted as, like, how he and Steve Bannon were going to, like, fight for the values that, like, Trump espoused, like, on the campaign trail or whatever.
Right.
But he has acknowledged that, and this is where I think the whole, you know, the Breitbart thing already sort of, like, turned a little bit this week. But he gave an interview this week, Gorka did, after
it
was
this
weekend.
Giving crazy interviews where they shit on Trump.
Yeah, exactly. And he said, he wasn't shitting on Trump necessarily, but he said that they're right now, here's the quote. He said, right now, the forces that are un-Trumpian are in ascendance. I put that in my letter to the president, but that will change. These are the people that Bannon was presumably calling the Democrats.
Right.
So, and he said, there's no conspiracy theory here. And there's no central leader. They are individuals who, if you look at their career, they would have been very comfortable working for
Hillary Clinton in her cabinet. And as such, they don't really get represented, don't really represent the victory of November.
Right, exactly. So he is basically like saying that like, Steve Bannon and I are going back to Breitbart, and we represent the ideals that got Trump elected on November 8th, and we are going to continue to fight for those. And they're saying that they're going to fight for Trump, as it would appear right now, maybe those are not the things that Trump himself is fighting for. So this, I am waiting for this
to really go
as south as it can go.
Well, nothing is more Steve Bannon-y than delivering lots of criticisms of Trump and then working for him and then delivering criticisms of Trump after working for him.
Exactly.
It's like Steve Bannon is like a very hot and cold friend, if you will.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, I will.
In any case, and then a hilarious thing happened this weekend that was not related to politics, but sort of a classically Trumpian situation.
Yes.
You know how, first of all, Donald Trump during his Tuesday speech bragged about how nice his house is. And amazing. Then also that the White House isn't so bad, but his house is really nice. Like,
well, sure.
This was Romneying.
After he said that the White House
at its finest.
Didn't he say that the White
yeah,
House was...
Yeah, he said it was a shithole. But this was sort of the same genre of Romneying.
Yes.
Where Steve Mnuchin's wife, who yes. I'm going to call Munchkin from now on.
Sure. It's easier to say.
Yeah, she Mnuchin is a crazy
some
name.
Sort of actress.
Her name and is... why we say some sort of, because she's not necessarily an actress as much as she is an aspiring actress.
Right. She has been in some things.
Right.
I think also she's Scottish, maybe? I want
she
to say
is
that
Scottish.
She's not, right, she's not from here. Yeah.
Which makes this whole scandal even more annoying.
Yeah, anyway, her name is Louise Linton. And she was...
Her
first
last
off,
scandal.
She has... Now two great scandals, and I would maybe contend that the first one is actually better, and we're going to talk about that, but she was already a known person. We'll get there later.
Yeah.
But she posted on Instagram, she and Steve were getting off of
a government plane.
Right. It says United States of America on it. They had just gone to Kentucky for the day, and she said,
she hashtagged up a storm.
Right. There's a lot of hashtags here. I'm not going to say hashtag for all of them, or we're going to be here all night.
Right.
It said, great day trip to Kentucky, nicest people, beautiful countryside. And then it says, Roland Moray pants, Tom Ford sunnies, Hermes scarf, Valentino rock stud heels, Valentino, hashtag Valentino, hashtag USA.
Yeah.
But like almost all
these
of
are
those
all
words
hashtags.
Were
she
hashtags.
Hashtagged her whole outfit.
Yeah, her whole
outfit. Her designer
outfit. And she looked great.
Yeah.
I mean, probably because she was wearing $10,000 worth of clothing, or
so,
maybe more. I don't know how much
one
shit costs.
Enterprising right now. Mother from Portland.
Yeah.
I think rightfully replied,
sure.
Glad we could pay for your little getaway, hashtag deplorable.
Yeah, well, she's one of the deplorables.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Let's face it.
Yeah. We obviously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Linton could not let it go.
No.
And not only did she not let it go, but she wrote the craziest rich person complaining rant.
Yeah.
The Romneyest rant.
So good.
In history. And I'm going to read it for you.
Yes, dude.
She wrote, cute. Aw. Did you think this was a personal trip? Adorable. Do you think the U.S. government paid for our honeymoon or personal travel? LOLOLOL. Have you given more to the economy than me and my husband? Either as an individual or in taxes or in self-sacrifice to your country? Mm. I'm pretty sure we paid more taxes towards our day, quote, trip than you did. Pretty sure the amount we sacrifice each year is a lot more than you'd be willing to sacrifice if the choice was yours. You're adorably out of touch. Thanks for the passive-aggressive nasty comment. Your kids look very cute. Your life looks cute. I know you're mad, but deep down, you're really, really nice, and so am I. Sending me passive-aggressive Instagram comments isn't going to make life feel better. Maybe a nice message, one filled with wisdom and humanity, would get more traction. Have a pleasant evening. Go chill out and watch the new Game of Thrones. It's fab.
She's right about that.
But only that.
Right. Yes. But only, yes. Literally.
First of all, it has a creepy stalkery edge to it. Because she
it
went,
does.
Looked at this
she looked
woman's
at her,
account
yes.
and comments on her children, which
right?
is a threat in
yeah,
this context.
Yeah, that's some very Ingrid Goes West
but also,
shit, which I just
literally go fuck yourself.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
For one thing, did you, unknown actress Louise Linton, contribute more to the U.S. economy than this woman? Possibly not.
No.
Your rich husband, Steve Mnuchin Munchkinhead, might have. But
no,
only because
he
he's rich
because,
in the first place.
Right, and you know what? He didn't. Because all he did was make sure most of the country entered into foreclosure.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. P.S. Who paid... I think the bigger question would be, who paid a larger and more relevant portion of their assets to the country in taxes last year? And the answer would not be Steve Mnuchin Munchkinhead.
No, it would not. Certainly would. Yeah.
But also, what a bitch.
Yeah.
Also, she's fucking Scottish. Right. So I resent any notion that she has that she somehow can speak for what it is to be the most, you know, to be making the most sacrifices for the American government.
Yeah. She's since apologized. Also, her Instagram is now private. So,
which
she made it private very quickly. But of course, like, as we know, it's like deleting tweets. Like,
yeah, you can't actually delete tweets.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone had a camera.
Yeah, which is why you are... Be more careful on social media, by
My
the way.
Favorite thing about social media is the number of people that screenshot tweets when they know that they're about to be taken.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Every time that something like that has happened, I've been just impressed by the inspiring greatness of America.
Yeah, but her other scandal, which I was not aware of until this week when this broke, is that she had written a book actually just last year about some time, a year where she spent in Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
In the 90s.
Right.
And it's called, what's it called? In Congo's Shadow, I think, or something like that. Isn't that
Yeah,
right?
it's is called that? In Congo's Shadow.
Yeah, In Congo's Shadow. And it is some fucking white savior bullshit, guys.
Yeah.
And like, where she talked about how she graced locals, like the smiling gap-toothed child with HIV with her healing presence. Mm. Like, she really, like, went to Zambia to, like, make the entire country, like, okay.
She
like,
didn't go
She took her blonde hair down there, and she was and like, I got this, guys.
She didn't go there to learn anything about geography or foliage.
But not she, foliage, there was also, like,
I
there,
also didn't, apparently.
Sure, yeah. Well, yeah, no, she doesn't. The topography, if you will, maybe.
Topography.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, so she, there's a whole plot line where she gets caught up in the Congolese civil war, and she had to spend the night hiding from the Hutu militia in a, quote, dense canopy jungle, wondering what marauding rebels would do to the, quote, skinny white Muzungu with long angel hair, while reminding herself how I'd come to be a central character in this horror story.
To begin with, I'm sure she wasn't a central character in this horror story.
She wasn't.
It was only in her own horror story that she
was a
central
character. Of these things were made up. Meanwhile, the discrepancies in this book are so bad, it is no longer being sold on Amazon, because it's basically fiction at this point.
There's no jungle, by the way.
Right, exactly. So the Zambia, the people
there was
of
also no Hutu-Tutsi conflict
right,
in Zambia.
The people of Zambia were like...
None of these things, this is just random words from Africa.
No, you didn't do that. And it says, there was one was like, what jungle? There's only the savannah here. Like, there was no Hutu-Tutsi conflict in Zambia. She literally, like, made up some bullshit about, like, going to save Zambia.
Learned words about Africa and threw them all into this story, despite the fact that she wasn't...
Ooh, I love her. She is great, guys.
She gets it. Oh, man. She doesn't get it.
She doesn't get it at all. She doesn't get it.
In final news, you might have heard a rumor that Kasich and Hickenlooper, the dream team of
Kasich Hickenlooper in the rundown, and I dare anybody to say that three times fast.
Well, and that's what Kasich told Chuck Todd. There was a rumor that they were going to do a joint run in 2020. Hickenlooper is a Democrat, for those of you who don't follow Colorado politics, in the most fake way. And Kasich is a Republican in the real way, but in the old-fashioned way. Chuck Todd asked Kasich about it today, and he was like, Chuck, look, Kasich Hickenlooper, first of all, you couldn't pronounce it. Second of all, you couldn't fit it on a bumper sticker. And he's right. And then Chuck Todd was like, that wasn't really a no. So Kasich was like, the answer is no, okay? Basically, what happened was they'd been working together on some state-level healthcare stuff.
And they've been sending a lot of sort of like joint letters together to people.
Exactly. Yeah. And so suddenly everyone was like, well, there's got to be an ulterior motive to them working together.
Yeah.
It couldn't just be that Hickenlooper's an extremely conservative Democrat who just finds common cause with Kasich.
No.
Couldn't be that.
Mm-mm. No.
And Kasich was, I think, fairly actually like, was angry about this for the right reason, because he said basically, like, you know, we're doing the thing that people should do, where we're trying to cooperate, and everyone is ascribing all these motives to it.
Right.
But like,
it doesn't mean we're like,
it's a sad state that we're in America if this feels like it needs it has a motive behind it.
Right.
Which is a politically thing to say, but also I think fair.
Totally
because
fair. Yes.
I myself don't trust bipartisanship as far as I can throw it at the moment, because I understand it to mean Republicans doing whatever they want and Democrats going along with it.
Right, exactly.
But I think in this case, these are two moderate people who are working together on moderate things that will only,
like, making sure they're
only 50% benefit
state
everyone.
Gets to continue to have money to give people health care.
So I get it. But also I was kind of like, thank God, because I don't need some kind of weird interloper moderate ticket.
No, I don't either.
Like, the Democrats are already going to run someone terrible, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Speaking of interloper tickets,
I'm dying to know what this is going to be.
Well, there was a piece on Politico earlier this week about how all of the Democrats, the party is basically doing oppo research on a whole bunch of Republicans that they think are going to run in 2020.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I think Kasich was one of them, but it was like Kasich, Ben Sasse.
Classic.
You know, people who don't like Trump, Pence.
Pence.
So I was like, I feel like that's fascinating. And like, I don't think they're stupid to do that either. But like, I was like, oh,
I think
2020,
that
guys, it's a long way away, but it's going to be fun.
Pence would be stupid to run.
I
think identifying the ways in which he's not Trump publicly like that would
He's running as an incumbent at the time, which is also possible.
Which is very possible.
Yeah.
But even if he's running as an incumbent at the time, I feel like he'll have a tough road ahead of him.
He would lose, I think.
Yeah.
Unless he's sort of
no one elected that asshole.
No, and nobody likes him.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
He's a slick. He represents exactly the problem
America collectively had previously decided that they did not like him.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then
we can easily re-decide that.
Right. It's not hard.
It's not, no,
he
it's
makes
not
the case very easily.
Yes.
In any case, that's the news this week.
There it is.
Oh, God. This August has been too much news.
Yikes. I know. You can't even go on vacation.
You can't even fucking go on vacation around here. No wonder everyone is so fucking strung out in this country.
I know.
Like, who has energy for this?
I know. That's why I'm talking to my therapist about politics.
Yeah, dad. That was, as my dad said, that was probably the best use of your money.
It was.
You needed it.
I did.
You know?
And bad.
And yeah.
Yeah.
So in any case, we'll be back next week with what we can only assume is going to be another action-packed week filled with scandals.
Probably.
And until then, stay safe.
Yes. Uh-huh.
As Donald Trump would say.
Good luck out there.
Good luck out there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Bye.